Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening, and we have Larry on his mountaintop. With his spy glasses on. Whoops, I mean, he's an informant. He's not spying, are you, Larry?
not as much as they do in Washington, D.C.
Oh, they don't spy there either. They just simply inform. I don't know. Here's your headline that you put on your blog. Trump erupts. Furious president rages at the criminal deep state. And Clapper, amid reports of FBI spied on Trump. You want to fill us in a little bit more? This is almost comical if it wasn't so serious about what's really going on.
Well, it's very interesting. And, of course, today, after this headline broke and talking about Trump erupting, he also began to use the term Spygate. And I was listening to Lou Dobbs a while ago, and they've decided on Lou Dobbs' show on Fox Business Channel to begin to use the term Obamagate, because they said you might as well put it where it belongs. And they're talking about Obamagate, but Trump is apparently pushing the release of records of the FBI and DOJ that they're all hiding behind. That would involve spies or moles or embeds within the Trump campaign. And this is very interesting. And as a matter of fact, Clapper and I think Brennan basically have said, yeah, of course we did. So, and some of the experts are saying this is the greatest political abuse of government power ever in the history of America, and they can't say Obama.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Obama never, well, there may be a good reason for it. I know a lot of people think Obama's all done and gone. I'm not one of them. He's running behind the scenes with his handler, Valerie Jarrett, and all the rest of them. And I have to say once again, I don't see any of them being indicted. I don't see any grand juries. All I hear is rhetoric. Boy, this is, you know, every night you tune in like Hannity or whatever. And, oh, we're going to, tomorrow, boy, there's going to be this bombshell. And then the next day is going to be another bombshell. But all the bombs seem to be hitting in the far-off desert. They don't seem to be doing any damage to the people that really already ought to be in prison camps. So
yeah,
I don't
exactly
know. What do you
right.
think?
Well, I think lately the only bombshell that the, and I'll just have to say, Democrats and Republicans of the deep state, the left, you know, the communist coup that's going on in America, the only bombshell they actually want to acknowledge is the absolute removal or impeachment of Donald Trump from the office of the president, where they can get on with their New World Order agenda and bring America down.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Trump is a kind of a stonewall against what he's thrown a monkey wrench into their machine. And I believe this is of the Lord, that the timing is going to work out exactly as the Lord wants. And, you know, I think it's in the Book of Enoch, or maybe in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But anyway, they said, I think it's Enoch, actually, that our calendars are off, and we don't really know the true date, which would mean then we don't know the Lord's total calendar, which in turn may be why he gave us events to look at because our timing would be off. And, I mean, we have some signs in the cosmos that have not occurred according to the Book of Enoch, one of them being the moon leaving its course. And that probably has to do with the passage of the destroyer, which would interrupt the orbits of probably not only the Earth, but of the moon and any other planet it came next to or by. So with all that being said, maybe we don't know exactly where we are. But we certainly know we're awful close. Another headline you've got here is Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Salman. By the way, this is from Larry's blog. Has he been assassinated or is he hiding out? He hasn't been seen in public since the explosion and gunfire report at the Royal Palace on April 21st. What do you think is going on there, Larry?
Well, I'm not really sure. We've been monitoring it. You know, you and I talked about this when it first happened.
Yes.
We actually were the first, I guess, almost to report the possible assassination attempt or attack on the Royal Palace. And if you'll remember, the wording was Saudi Arabia basically went totally dark. You heard
yes.
no more basically out of the king or the crown prince, Salman. And remember, the only thing that they would give notice to was they evacuated the king from the royal palace to a nearby Air Force base, Saudi Air Force base, for protection. So that tells you something was going on. And at the same time, the article, and that matter of fact, this is actually a Drudge Report headline.
Yes.
This is not in some hid-out blog somewhere. This is really upfront news. They're just not reporting it. Mainstream media won't report it, but it says basically the question is Saudi Arabian Crown Prince, who was so busy and involved in the government of Saudi Arabia and the whole Middle East, Salman, and they claim that they believe possibly he was assassinated or he's in hiding, and either one could be very true, but it is telling, and we've noted that, and on a regular program recently we mentioned that no one has seen Salman in public since that apparent attack or whatever occurred at the Royal Palace. So this is a quandary. I haven't heard a word out of Sandeo, who was watching him. Personally, and this is just my personal feelings, you know, it's possible he was wounded in this attempt, but my feelings is he's probably going to come back. We're going to see something and maybe find out something. But if you'll remember, this all started about the time that Netanyahu, Salman, and Trump began a pivot towards a removal of Iran's nuclear deal and situation. And I told you, if you remember on one of the programs, I said they would love to kill all three of those.
Well, you may remember, too, that the Las Vegas shooting, they think, was a cover for an attempted assassination of the prince. He was photographed not in his normal dress, but in a standard dress, being escorted out of the hotel right around the time that shooting began. And there were rumors at that point in time, and I think we reported on it back then, that this may have been an assassination attempt on him at that point. I mean, he has done some things that the royal family, or at least part of the royal family, has not necessarily been too happy with, like rounding up a good share of them and fleecing them of their dollars, probably did not go over too well. And there may well have been an assassination attempt on him, a second one, because he didn't get him the first time.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Stuart. Yeah, what you said was exactly right. Something happened at that Las Vegas shooting, and he was there, by the way.
Yes, he was.
And,
yep.
What's also interesting, you talked about rounding up of some of the royal family that was involved in other things. You know, one of the things that really was a pivot point, I guess, for him, for Salman, was he supported Netanyahu in Israel and the Jerusalem embassy for
yes.
the U.S., and that's not popular in the Arab world.
No, I'm sure that even the king was not too happy about that. because there has been a lot of friction there. But what was amazing to me was when Trump was there, how they treated him like he was a messiah almost, and they cleared a way for him to fly direct over to Jerusalem. So there was a, what do you call it, deference to Trump and to Israel to allow that to happen. And maybe the prince decided, well, okay, if they're going to do that, maybe they'd really like to have some sort of a peace agreement. And he has been kind of the spear, tip of the spear on that, as far as I know, behind the scenes. He and Kushner, Trump, and Bibi. Is that right? As far as
well,
I know?
That's you're exactly right, Stuart. He has been the tip of the spear. Salman has been working to bring this peace agreement forward, and Trump is next month, June, which is only days away, going to present the new Middle East, and hopefully Salman will show up in that. I'm assuming he's still around, but remember, Salman was one that Standeo said, you better keep your eyes on this guy.
Yes. Yeah, he's a very interesting character. He's not very old, but he's extremely powerful. And we do have, I mean, there's a lot of argument over this so-called peace agreement, and it's to be made with many by whoever the Antichrist is. And we'll just have to wait and see how that works out. It's supposed to be a 7-year agreement. Now, the Oslo Accords, which may be brought up if everything else fails, was a 2-year and 5-year agreement. And it was stated as a 7-year agreement originally on CBS and a few of the other, I think it was BBC News, said that, this accord was a 7-year accord, and it was broken up into 2 and 5 years, which is very, very interesting when you place that against some of the prophecies of ancient times when brothers came down and met who they thought was one of the chieftains of Egypt, only to find out it was their brother. And remember, he said that there were going to be 2 years of partial harvest and 5 years of no harvest. And if there's a repeat to Joseph's 7 years, and it's going to repeat itself with this agreement coming into the fore, we're in for some trouble. And I just read an article where it says that drought in the United States is now getting worse and worse, and it's drying up rivers and streams, and that's exactly what Jeremiah prophesied against the United States of Babylon. So, yeah, all of this is tying together. It's just very, very interesting how that's working out. And here's another headline. Netanyahu says, and this is from your blog too, says Israeli Air Force plays a crucial role in preventing the Iranian nuclear weapons in the Middle East. I kind of looked at that as a warning. Preventing Iranian nuclear weapons. Isn't that sort of a warning?
Well, it
was.
That
our Air
sure,
Force is going to stop you if you think you're going to do it?
I think you're exactly right. This is a warning towards Iran. And another report from Debka File that dovetails right into that statement that Netanyahu just made that you read is a report, Israeli F-35 stealth planes used for the first time in the Middle East attack. And it is reported that I know a lot of people thought Israel had 2. It's now coming out that Israel has at least 9 active F-35 stealth planes involved in Syria. And, you absolutely have to say Trump did it because Obama refused to give them to him.
Yes, I remember that. And here's another headline. Israel warns Damascus not to use their air defenses against Israeli jets inside Syria. That's kind of, how do I want to word this? Isn't that kind of arrogant to tell the person that you're invading, Don't try and shoot us down? I mean, I can understand Israel's point of view because they're just going to hammer them if they do.
Yeah, well, I think what that is just a preemptive notice that if you use your anti-aircraft accessory, so to speak, we're going to take them out. In other words, they're going to destroy all of them. And they've also, Netanyahu has also delivered a personal message to Putin and told him, don't fire on Israeli aircraft. Do not use your Russian missile systems to fire on any Israeli aircraft, because we're going to take Iran and Hezbollah completely off the chart, you know, in Syria. And I found out that recently, reading in the background, that Iran and Hezbollah were told by Putin to leave Syria, and they are now refusing to go. And not only that, Stuart, there's a new report out today in Deprofile that claims there's a large massing of Syrian and Hezbollah troops that are backed by Iran on Jordan's border, and it's a possible U.S.-Israeli concern because Jordan is in peace right now with Israel, and that would be put them also on Israel's border.
Well, you know, and I know that sooner or later this whole thing's going to go. I mean, we have Isaiah 17, we have Daniel chapter 8, and some even refer to chapter 11. And Daniel, and we also have Ezekiel 38:39. We know all of that has to take place. So it's just a question of, I guess, the maneuvers and the rhetoric. All we can do is watch. But
hey, I was going to take.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention something before we forget it. I don't know if you saw it on my blog, but the U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, recently was on TV there at a reception in Jerusalem, and guess what's in front of him? If you can see it on my blog, it's a Jerusalem picture with an Israeli temple on the mount. It's actually, there's no Dome of the Rock there anymore. It's been replaced by an Israeli temple.
That's going to really stir him up. I mean, you know, there's nothing like being an agitator. And they're good at that. But, of course, God is the greatest of all agitators because nobody likes what he does. So he's got basically the entire human race in full rebellion against him. And like he says, well, you guys really think you're going to stop me? I don't think so. So anyway, it's kind of humorous in a way how humanity really does think that they can either outsmart or ignore, or just be totally rebellious, and there is no consequence to it. But here we are, and there is a consequence to it.
Yeah, and by the way, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to mention and get your comment. Because of recent threats from Iran to take out the government of Israel, Netanyahu has now ordered all security cabinet and meetings and sessions to an underground facility in Jerusalem. He's moved the meetings from Tel Aviv to underground facilities in Jerusalem, and also at the same time, mainstream media is not reporting, but the Palestinians did breach the Israeli border fence with Gaza and destroyed an Israeli outpost there and began to fire machine guns at Israeli traffic, and an Israeli tank took them out. So this is growing by the day, and of course we all know the one pulling the strings is Iran.
Yeah, and here is this came from Hal Turner, and I don't know how you vet it, but I think this one you probably can. Iran, the next war. He said on Tuesday, May 22nd, the U.S. House of Representatives began discussing an authorization for the use of military force against Iran, while the rest of the country was distracted by porn star Stormy Daniels. That name, Stormy and Daniel, I don't think that's by accident. I think that is the way the Lord works to warn us of something. And the antics of her lawyer, Congress began very quietly moving towards war. I thought that was kind of interesting. And here's another one that he talked. Yeah, and then he says Sweden issues a booklet to every home. Prepare for war have 3 months of survival supplies. That is very interesting. The government of Sweden has produced a 20-page pamphlet which they're sending to every one of their 4.8 million households in the country, urging them to get prepared for war. He has a picture of it. Now, what's that about?
Well,
unless they know.
I'll just remark again, Tom Clancy wrote a really crazy novel called Red Storm Rising, and we're looking really at that through Putin. And once this begins to break loose, whether it's the Middle East or whatever, you know that Russia and the U.S. is going to come to blows.
Here's another remark from Pompeo. U.S. will crush Iranian military proxies around the world. Boy, if that isn't kind of like the hammer of the whole earth, as U.S. Babylon is called in the scriptures. We're going to pound everybody.
And, yeah, and, you know, Pompeo talks like that, and they're worried about John Bolton.
Yeah, they're all in concert together, I think, really. Here's another one. We should get into earth changes. Seismic alert, siren sounding Mexico City. 5.2 quake arrives. Did you hear? I'm sure you heard about that one.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this, you know, Hawaii, we'll just mention that real quick. The eruptions are increasing. The swarms are increasing. The lava's increasing. The vents of the volcano are growing, and they're now warning everybody to get off that island. So, you know, that's the latest.
Yeah, Stan Turner, or whatever he calls himself, Hawaii finally admits, this is what he claims, sea cliffs collapse danger, tsunami danger for San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, and Vancouver. Says the website was among the very first, this website, he's talking about his own, Hal Turner, began warning folks in Hawaii and on the west coast of North America that a portion of Hawaii's southern coastline was in danger of collapsing into the ocean from the ongoing eruption in Kilauea volcano. If such a collapse were to take place, it would cause a Pacific-wide tsunami, weighs at least 99 feet tall, plowing into San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, 4 to 5 hours after such a collapse were to take place. But Stan did say, or Holly said, that where he's talking about is actually a place where it is starting to move, I guess.
Yeah, the information seems accurate from the GPS sensors that there's movement on that side of the island, and the ground seems to be moving in the direction of the, you know, the water. So that's all it's got to do is finally give way, and it goes down, and that can cause a tsunami, as they're saying.
Yeah. Fears of a tsunami, another headline for U.S. West Coast as erupting Hawaii volcano fractures massive, unstable landmass. And I do remember that Stan said that entire island, if I recall him right, was very unstable.
Well, he did,
so,
sir. He talked about the foundation of that entire island is porous because of it's all built on volcano. And he said that if that ever begins to break and shake, that it could literally implode.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's a mountaineer, and he's climbed Mount Rainier many, many times. And what they do is in the wintertime when they climb it, if they get bad weather, they go into the lava tubes that are on top of the mountain, and they know where they are, so they just go in there and hide until the storm's over, and then they come back out. But what he said was when you get in there, the whole mountain is basically corrupted and very weak, and it wouldn't take much for the whole thing to just implode or be blown off by an eruption. We got a few minutes. I want to get into this latest Barry's latest code. Have you got that in front of you by any chance?
Well, I do, and it's also on my blog if anybody wanted to look at it or click on it while I posted it today on the bottom of my blog. It's very interesting, absolutely, and we'll get more into it on
Friday.
Yeah. We don't have time for a lot, but it's actually three codes he's ran, three matrix, but basically it's quantum entanglement and the Torah's author, and he began it May the 22nd, and it's under construction. Now, what's interesting, he's claiming quantum entanglement enables particles to affect each other instantaneously across any distance. And
yes,
he's referring to the fact that, from what I can read, you know, he's done studies on the error of time and how to reverse
yes
it. And these codes are incredible. Let me read you the wordings of this number one code. It's entanglement, number two, quantum, number three, time, number four, in light, number five, tachyon, number six, reverser, number seven, tumen, number eight is a phrase that says, and remove from me. Number nine is a phrase that adds only this death. In other words, and remove from me only this death. And number 10, Ark of the Covenant. Number 11, computer. Number 12, energy. And he is saying that it's very possible that this reversal of time, the Torah code talks about, and it ties in resurrection and the ability for a resurrection involving time. And, you know, I got to think of Stuart, and I'd like your opinion on this. Here I am
yep
in a 71 or almost 72-year-old body that's kind of wore out, but is it, you know, and I think of myself in the past when I was like 20 to 30 years old and doing a lot better as being
yes
like a figment of my imagination, but Stuart, in the whole timeline, is Larry Taylor at 71 looking backwards, is Larry Taylor at 20 or 30 still there?
Well, I think it is. Personally, I believe that the past, present, future are all still present, if that makes any sense to anybody. There are a few remarks that the Lord made, and I've always thought of time, one of the easiest ways to think about it is it's a wagon wheel, and eternity is in the hub of the wagon wheel, and the edge of the wheel is the time-space tube, if you want to call it a tube. And our universe sits in there, or multiverse sits in that tube. And what's kind of interesting is that he could expand in all directions instantaneously and pick up everybody from the time of Adam and Eve all the way through in a split instant and collect everybody.
Yeah, and
there are some remarks
it
that he does make. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me read this real quick, the second one. I know we're out of time almost, but it's called Secret of Resurrection. And there's eight. Let me read them. One, Return to Shadow. Number two, Hezekiah. Number three, Isaiah. Number four, The Number of Years. Number five, Like the Days. Number six, Backward. Number seven, Resurrection. Number eight, Quantum.
Well, yeah, we don't even know anything about how he's constructed time and space. We don't even know if we're a holographic or not. We don't really know anything about what space is, and we really don't even know what time is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of interesting. Any final words before we shut her off here?
Well, we just got to keep our eyes open and be aware, and I would tell people, really consider, because the way things are going, I've not seen a number of prophecies lately, too, indicating that people need to have their families prepared for some really rough days ahead, and I think people need to understand that.
Yeah, they should probably follow the Sweden model. And, folks, a few cans in your pantry aren't going to do it, and 3 months might not even be enough time. So get ready, and of course you got to have water, you got to have light, you got to have shelter, you got to have food. Those are the essentials, and you don't have to spend a fortune on it. In fact, I produced two or three of the prophetic insiders. I went into how you can prep for virtually nothing. You just have to figure out how to do it, and we outlined it all. But anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening again, and we'll set up something for Friday night, a lot bigger. We can get into some of this time-space. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. Appreciate your time and efforts to enlighten all of us, and we'll see everybody on Friday if the Lord is willing, and we certainly hope he is. So good night, everyone. Take it easy. Heads up.